Well, for the rest of us, let's flip to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, there's this great story. It's such a simple story. It's a Sunday school story. I've read it many times. You'll kind of recognize it as I begin to read it. But I just saw it in a different light this last couple of weeks as I was reading it. And I just, where I was at inside my own kind of thoughts, I thought, oh, I just saw it in a fresh new way. So Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, we'll start with. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. See, Jesus is smart. Obviously, when he speaks and you're on water, it carries, right? How often are you on shore and you can hear conversations of people that are miles away, that are just right there? So there's a crowd of people. Jesus needs to strategically get himself in a better position to teach the people. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. While he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so that they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so much so that they began to sink. Whoopsie! You know, problem on our hands now. The blessing of God is so much, it's overcoming, it's taking. And I think about Simon Peter in this moment as Jesus is speaking to him. We see that Jesus called him by name. He knew his name. Jesus knows your name. He's not confused by you. You haven't done enough wrong in your life, or you haven't even renamed your name. He knows your name. Simon allowed Jesus to enter his boat. You know, Simon Peter had a boat. He had worked all night. It was sitting on the shore. He allowed Jesus to take part of his own belongings. He allowed Jesus to be a part of his life, in a sense. Simon Peter called Jesus the master. Now, why would he call him master? Did he know him? Is this the first encounter that Simon Peter has with Jesus? We can look at it theologically. Many different stories of, this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. I wonder if Simon Peter had heard about Jesus, or, you know, just with the teaching that he just released from the boat, was just like, well, this guy must be a master. Simon Peter had worked hard all night. He just cleaned his nets, but he still listened to Jesus. He had been fishing, it says, all night. I don't know about you, if you've ever done one of those all-nighters with the youth ministry or something like that. By 8 or 9 a.m., I'm not thinking about anything about besides my bed. You know, I'm not thinking about, like, I'm going to go fishing again, or I'm going to go pull another all-nighter with those youth again. I'm thinking about checking out. I'm not thinking, like, you know, it says that he even washed his nets. So he brought the boat in, cleaned the boat up. I guess it was kind of easy to clean up because they didn't catch any fish that night. Got the nets ready for the next time they went out. Simon said, "Master, because you say so, I will go and do it. Even though I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I haven't, you know, had any sleep, I have very little strength, but I'm going to be obedient to Christ." It's just like when Jesus was crucified, we were going to read here in a second. What did Simon Peter go back and do? And we're going to pick this up again. Very simple story here. John chapter 21, very last chapter of John. Starting in verse 3. So after Jesus was crucified, Peter had spent a lot of time with Jesus. We obviously see that everyone's scared. Everybody kind of goes back to what they know, what they're comfortable doing. I don't know about your life and your walk, but when you're faced with a difficult situation, do you revert back to things that you've done in your past? Do you revert back to things that are easy instead of pushing forward to do the things that God's called you to do? Think about Simon Peter again, fished all night, cleaned up his boat, he's ready to, you know, go to bed, and Jesus says, "I have one more assignment for you." And he pushes on, he pushes through that. He doesn't give up. So here we go. We see Simon Peter. Jesus is crucified. There's obviously a lot of stress around. All the disciples are freaking out. And we see Peter go back to this. It says in verse 3 of John chapter 21, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing, because they're doing it on their own strength. They're doing things that are not what God has called them to do. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Okay, pause right here. Okay, Jesus found Peter fishing. He didn't caught Zippo. Then he teaches him for years and years and years, and he releases Peter to go off. We know that he's going to start the church. He's going to be the founder of the church. And here we see him just fishing. And Jesus comes walking along the shore. As a father, I don't know what you would be like. Your son goes back to, or you know, they go back to things that you, "I've warned you, don't do that, stop doing it, follow me, follow my example." And Jesus comes walking along the shore and he looks out to Peter. What do you think he's going to say? I know what earthly thoughts I would think of that I would love to say. But it says this, "Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends!'" Oh, just that word alone is good news. That is good news. That we're far from God. These people are far from the plans of God. And God calls out to them, "Friends!" He's a friend of sinners. We need to understand that. That's great. "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they replied. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." I wonder if that moment they were like, I think I've heard that before. You know, we're up all night fishing, this guy tells us to do something, and all of a sudden we've got this large number of fish. "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Exclamation point. Like, all of a sudden, all of these thoughts and ideas are coming together like, "It's the Lord!" Like, this is great news. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. He wanted to rush to Christ. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far off of shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" And they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. I feel like that's almost like a communion story, isn't it? As God just looked out at broken sinners far from him. See, they were trying to do it in their own strength, and what did they accomplish in their own strength? Zero. Do you remember when we talked about Paul, as I spoke about in 1 Corinthians? Paul said, "In my own strength, I can't do anything on my own strength. It's only by the grace, only by grace." So I don't know why you're here this morning or what's drawing you here, but thank God by his grace that we have the ability to be with him. So let's finish the story now. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. So just jumping into the story again here, Luke chapter 5, verse 7. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said this, "Praise God for the big catch." Right? Do you think you got like, "Oh my word, if this whole lake, we have never caught that many fish. This is a miracle." Is he thinking that way? We don't read that, do we? We read Peter who has his heart in his mouth, right? He's always speaking. He's just rambling off. He just kind of lets loose. But look at the honesty of him, though. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Exclamation point as well. So that everybody could hear in the water. Like, "Go away, God. I'm sinful." There's a big crowd of people. There's the other fishermen. And Peter is saying this to God. Wow, he's got his heart on the table, doesn't he? See, God is actively pursuing us. And you would think here that, you know, he's healing people, he's casting out demons, and now all of a sudden Jesus is concerned about some fishermen. See, he's concerned about our daily routine. Isn't that great? He doesn't just kind of call out from the shore what to do here. He actually gets into the boat with the fishermen. He actually tells them what to do. He goes through their life with them. See, God isn't about these four walls of this church, or he's not just right here. He actually wants to be with you right here all day long. In your waking up, in your breakfast time, we just read in John, he just wants a breakfast, he just wants a communion with you. Well, that's the kind of God that we serve. He's not just kind of like a checkbox in the morning, done with God, you know, gave him 5 minutes. He just wants to have relationship with you. He wants to be with you all day long. And Simon, in the midst of that, though, he looks at it. Just imagine the scene. He's in his boat. It has more fish than he's ever seen in his whole life. And it's sinking. And he gets on his knees in front of Jesus and he says, "Go away from me. Stop just right here." Imagine this. He's in his boat with more fish than he's ever seen. What is that? That is a miracle. He's standing in a miracle. This is what I saw this last week. He's standing in the miracle, and all he can focus on is his sins. That is such an attack of the enemy, isn't it? Always focusing on our sins. I just messed up again, and I can't seem to get over this, you know, this thing I'm addicted to. And that's all we see. That's all we talk about. But in the midst of it, we're standing in a miracle. You're here this morning because of a miracle. Because Jesus looked down and he had grace on you and he called you out of the pit of hell and put you into heaven. Oh, thank God. Amen. We don't need anything else. Now, we're going to give you nice chairs, and we're going to paint walls, and we're going to pay parking lots, but we don't need anything but Jesus' presence in our lives. Oh, thank God. Let's never forget that. So often, right? I've been saved for almost 20 years. I think, what was it like back then when I got saved? What did I get out of? What was I saved from? What kind of things happened? And we just get complacent. And I can easily fall into that tendency. Of just being like, oh God, well, you know, what's next for me? Or you know, why didn't it kind of go the way I wanted? And just kind of stumble your way through life. But never forget our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He desperately loves you. He desperately pursues you. Even if you're in sin, he's like right there with you. He's like, hey, what are you doing here? What the, you know. You remember, you know, Jonah trying to get away from God? He's like going in the opposite direction, and God's just like right there with him in the boat. Hey, Jonah, how you doing? Hello. You know, you can't get away from him. But do you recognize him? Or do you look at him and go, oh, please go away. Please go away. I'm a sinner. Or do we kind of look down and go, oh, praise God. Praise God that he's pursuing me. Praise God that he's in my life. I want to serve him with everything. Let's continue the story. Luke chapter 5, verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." See, Peter said to Jesus, "Get away from me." That was Peter's response. And what does God do when we respond like that? God, I'm just so messed up. Maybe even here this morning, I've been in many services thinking like, oh man, I don't even know if I deserve to be in church this morning. And God responds to you in this way. Don't be afraid. Because so often we think of ourselves as worthless. We don't need people to remind us of that. We don't need to look at the law that says we don't measure up. God looks at you in that and he says, stop thinking like that. Don't be afraid. What have we talked about these last 3 weeks? 2 weeks ago, I said, let's not be fearful, Because it'll drive us away from God's plans. We cannot be afraid. God has set us free from fear. Praise God. Len did a wonderful job last week speaking about trusting God. We have to trust God that he knows what he's doing. Sometimes that's easier said than done, isn't it? God, this is pretty messy. I don't know how you're going to work this thing out. But we have to trust him. And today I'm saying to you, don't ever forget what God has done in your life. Because you're standing here as a miracle this morning. God chose you. He picked you. He said, I need this person to accomplish what I want to do. Even though you're all broken and messed up, God says, you're the one. I'm calling out to you. No matter you go out in a boat, you can go fishing, you can turn your back on me. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to call you, and I'm going to put your feet on a solid ground. That's great, great news. We don't have to be afraid. We can trust God. The very last verse here is verse 11. It says, so they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Are you kidding me? The greatest catch of all time, the biggest fish of all time, right? You're going to get the trophy. You're going to taxidermy this thing up. The greatest thing of all time you put back in the water. Bye. Like what? Why would, at least get a photo of the fish. Come on, man. Like what are you doing? At least get a photo of all the fish. Peter pulls up his boat on the shore and he walks away from it because he's pursuing God. Well, you got to get this. There's two things that are super important here. Two things about requirements for coming to God, for following God. The first thing we have to recognize is that we're sinful and we're broken. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever like put 20 years under your belt and go, geez, I'm actually a pretty good Christian now. I haven't messed up very much, you know, recently. Don't ever forget that at the end of the day, compared to a perfect God, we're sinful and we're broken. Don't ever forget that. I'm not kind of bad. Like, don't forget you're bad. Like, you know, compared to God, I mean, let's be careful. The second thing we must realize is that we cannot save ourselves. You cannot be good enough to save yourself. You need Christ. And you have to give everything to Christ. So the way that we know we are sinful and that we can't do it on ourselves, do it by ourselves, we need Christ. And if we can do those things, we will walk away from the boat. We will walk away from those things that are earthly, that we think are so good. You know, we will commit our house, our life, everything that we have to Christ, to follow him. And we won't second guess it when we're going to walk away. Are you kidding me? You're going to walk away from a boat full of fish to follow God? That's crazy. You know, are you going to kidding me? You're going to go to YWAM France? Why would you do that? That sounds nuts. Although it looks pretty nice, actually. I probably might go too. But do you understand that? When you know that you're a sinner and that God's the only way out, you will just pursue him regardless. No matter what the cost, no matter what it looks like, you'll just say, praise God, here we go. And we see that story right here as Peter just was like, I will leave all those provisions and I'm going to trust God with the future. Even though it might look scary, even though it might look like it, you know, I don't know how that's ever going to work out. That's the kind of pursuit that I want us as a church to have. Just, we're just going to go. We don't know what it looks like. We just did this about a month or two ago. We did our 24 hours of prayer and fasting as a church, and we just want to pursue God. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what it's going to cost, but we're just going to keep pressing in and see what he does in each one of us. It's a team effort. It's a family effort. I'm so thankful you're here to hear this message this morning. Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray, and let's invite the worship team up. Just want to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? Maybe as a church, maybe as an individual this morning. God, I just think about so many years ago when I came through the doors of a church and I was a mess and I didn't know how much you cared for me. All I could see was how broken I was. And God, you just looked at that broken kid and you said, I see the potential in this kid. I see the end game in this kid. So God, I pray that people would begin to see and hear clearly in that same capacity this morning, Father. That you're desperately in love with your people. That you're so encouraged with your people this morning. Thank you, God.